The bailouts continue.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. Reports out this morning say GMAC, the financial services company, is seeking a third round of government bailout money. For years, GMAC was the financing arm for General Motors dealers and buyers, until it branched out into other areas of finance just in time for the subprime lending mess. Marketplace's Ashley Milne-Tite joins us live. Good morning, Ashley.
Good morning.
What's going on at GMAC?
So remember the stress tests last spring where the government wanted to see just how sound various banks were? I mean, banks that had received bailout money.
I do remember them.
Well, 19 banks had to do the test, and most either passed with flying colors or they were able to raise extra capital. GMAC was the only one that couldn't manage to raise the capital the government said it needed to keep lending this year and next year. So the government came in with more than $7 billion, but at this point, GMAC still needs to come up with another $5-plus billion by early November.
I see. And where do the taxpayers come in?
Well, they looks like they will be coming in. I mean, it's not really clear what form this injection of money will take. It might come in the form of government preferred stock. But the fact is, probably another $5.6 billion of fresh capital will be coming to GMAC. And that's on top of the $12.5 billion that it's already received. So just how the money's going to be invested, it remains up in the air, but it seems pretty certain that the money will be coming and that, yes, the taxpayers will be on the hook.
Marketplace's Ashley Milne-Tite, thank you.
You're welcome.
And let's do the numbers. Oh, what happened to the rally? European markets are mostly lower this morning, almost 1%. Asian stocks fell hard for the second day in a row, down about 1.5%. In New York yesterday, the NASDAQ lost more than 1%. The Dow, though, eked out a 14-point gain, closed at 9,882. Negotiations leading up to December's climate change summit in Copenhagen, Denmark, not going smoothly. Yesterday, the director of the UN team coordinating the talks admitted Copenhagen is unlikely to produce a global treaty. So what's plan B? Marketplace's John Dimsdale reports from Washington.
One big speed bump on the road to Copenhagen is Congress has yet to limit carbon emissions. Stuart Eisenstadt was U.S. negotiator at the last U.N. climate conference in Kyoto, Japan in 1997. He says the Copenhagen meeting can still achieve what he calls a framework agreement,
in which the basic elements of a treaty are developed at Copenhagen, and the details are then filled out, particularly after the United States Congress hands President Obama a cap-and-trade bill that he can sign.
Eisenstadt says any future global agreement has to be more flexible, since U.S. caps on emissions won't be anywhere near Europe's. Paul Bledsoe at the National Commission on Energy Policy agrees a framework agreement will keep the momentum going.
If it involves China and India and the U.S. and other non-Kyoto signatories, it would be a very important step forward.
Bledsoe expects a new worldwide binding treaty can still be achieved next year. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by SunGard. $25 trillion of investment assets are accounted for with software from SunGard Financial Systems. More information at SunGard.com. And by Thomson Reuters, a source of intelligent information to businesses and professionals around the world. Thomson Reuters, knowledge to act.
New rules for credit card issuers go into effect in about a month. These are the limits on things like interest rate hikes. So card issuers have been hurrying to raise rates and fees before that law takes effect. This week, the chair of the Senate Banking Committee proposed an immediate freeze on those practices. Los Angeles Times business columnist David Lazarus is following the story. Good morning, David.
Morning.
How are these credit companies trying to raise extra money?
Well, they're trying to raise money essentially by sticking their hand in your pocket, not to put too fine a point on it. Citibank, for example, has been sending out letters in recent days informing many cardholders that their interest rate is going up to almost 30%. In the letters that they're sending out, Citi really isn't giving any reason for that except to say that this will allow us to keep offering credit to people. And that raises real questions of fairness. Is it a money grab or is Citi, in fact, managing higher risk?
But David, Congress is limiting the interest rates that they can raise. The card companies have to make money somehow, true?
Well, they do indeed, and a fair return. No one's going to begrudge them that. Here's the reality. Everybody pretty much needs a credit card in this day and age. The card companies, when they introduce very high rates or changes in contract terms that are not beneficial to the customer, the card companies have been offering opt-outs with that, essentially saying take it or leave it. If you don't like these changes, you can pay off your balance and walk away, no harm, no foul. The problem is when all of the major card issuers are doing this, you don't really have a lot of opportunities or alternatives to go elsewhere, so you're really getting a squeeze from the industry.
The chairman of the Fed, Ben Bernanke, says we've got to give the credit card companies time to make this transition to the new rules.
Yeah, cry me a river is what I say. I mean, when the Fed chief steps up and says we need to put the bank's interests first, I'm thinking, you know, the banks have had a pretty good and long run to get their act together. And to say that they're going to need a few extra months to accommodate these reforms, I'm kind of thinking, no, the banks need to earn our trust.
Okay, so David, what is a consumer to do about these new fees?
A consumer needs to watch very closely all the inserts coming in the mail with your statement. There's going to be a lot of changes coming down the pike. Moreover, if you see any sort of contract change or interest rate hike that you don't like, there are opt-outs. It may be difficult to find another card that meets your needs, but they'll probably be out there somewhere. It's worth looking around. Don't accept terms that you don't want.
But the letters are long and the print is small.
Very small. It's hard to read.
Los Angeles Times business columnist David Lazarus, thank you.
Thank you.
And finally, Canton, Ohio has been wiped off the map, at least the Google map. People using Google to find Canton have been getting maps for Colesville, Ohio, which doesn't exist. Google says fixing the problem is not easy, but they're making progress. I just typed in Canton and got directed to Massillon, Ohio, which is wrong, but at least there is such a place. This is Marketplace Morning Report in Los Angeles. I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.